Morning, everyone. Firstly, thank you, Jason, for your very kind words, and thank you for allowing me to share on Christmas Day. We've had 26 Christmases in a row here. I'm not sure what we're going to do next Christmas. We'll wake up and wonder where to go. We'll probably finish up on the street somewhere, but it has been quite a long journey. I'll tell you what you didn't have 26 years ago were these things. I feel really weird wearing these things, but that's the way it is. But it is so good to see you here. I've just been looking around, and so many people that go way back. It's just so good to have you here. Good to have Leanne and Alan with Frank, and good to have Mady's family all the way from all over the globe. We've got the Greens from Sydney. We've got Rob and Leah and Catherine and Adam, and in fact the whole Adcock clan here this morning. And I could kind of go all around the church. It is just wonderful. I think we saw Luke and Rach back there, didn't I? Good to see you guys here back with us this morning. Nice to see the Warnicky family there. We did little happy hats on. That's wonderful. Very good. And Brenton, I haven't forgotten you. Brenton has a birthday on the 24th of December, and nobody cares because it's Christmas. So say happy birthday to Brenton. Make him feel really happy. He's good. Oh, it is just terrific. Listen, I can't resist it. Have we got that microphone? Can I just grab that, Jase? Did anybody get any presents this morning? Oh, that's about the saddest Christmas. Any kids get any presents? Put your hand up. Do you want to tell me what you got? Did you put your hand up? What did you get for Christmas, you little girl?
Lots of things I can't remember.
She's gone stage fright. Here we up here. What did you get, Don?
Got scooters.
Wow. You're going to say some more? No. Anybody else? What did we get for Christmas over here? Yeah, man, what did you get?
Loads of chocolates.
Loads of chocolates. Love to be around your house tonight. Okay, I'm coming over here. Oh, okay. Where did I go?
This one.
Oh, come over here. Stand up here. What do you reckon? Hey! Woo! Well done, buddy. Okay. Josh.
This watch.
Oh, okay. Come on. Stand up. Show that watch. What do you reckon about that one? Yeah. Okay. Anybody else can beat that outfit and the watch? Hey, kids, do you want to know what old people get for Christmas? You're about to find out. What did you get for Christmas, Rog?
Bunnings voucher.
A Bunnings voucher. Any other old person want to tell you what? Doug, you really qualify?
A shopping bag.
A shopping bag. Was there anything in it? No, okay. All right, well, I'm going to put this down for a moment. I know there's people, and I've said this every year, like Christine. She doesn't enjoy this kind of stuff because she grew up in a family where you're not allowed to open your presents till after church. Now, Ian and Margaret, do you realise how you've scarred your children over all these years for that? Lovely to have you with us this morning here at Unley. It's not too late to change. Look, I want to give you a little verse that I hope you'll never forget. It's so simple to remember. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. And Paul was trying to describe how he felt about Jesus. And he said this, very simple. He said, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." You remember that? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And I started me thinking during the week, what makes a gift indescribable? Do you want to know what I got for Christmas? You don't. I got a sound bar. Like that? Yeah, that's what you do when you've been married for 40 odd years. You need something and so you buy it and say that's Christmas. Right? So I got a sound bar. Do you know that sound bar puts out indescribable sound? Is it an indescribable gift? It cost me an indescribable amount of money. What makes an indescribable gift? Is it the size of it? We play Kris Kringle at our house. I already know the gift that I want to win. It takes up half of our family room. Yeah, it's falling off, Chris. I told you, these things are hopeless. Nah, I don't like it.
His head's too big.
You're not supposed to clap at that. What's wrong with you people? Okay, so what makes it indescribable? Is it cost? Or is it because it's unexpected? You know the hardest part of Christmas, don't you, is who gets the gift and who gets the hug. It's a tough gig, that one. Don't you hate it when someone walks up to you at Christmas time and you're about to give them a big hug and they're holding a big gift for you and you're only going to give them a big hug? So someone says to you this morning, I can't believe it, I left your gift at home. You can guarantee that you're only on the reserve list. You were never going to get a gift. You're only going to get a hug. Maybe what makes a gift indescribable is that you only expected a hug and you got a gift. What if you expected neither and got both? That's getting a little closer to indescribable. You would never in your wildest dreams that somebody would even show any affection to you, let alone give you a gift, and they embrace you and give you the warmest hug and the biggest gift, and you go, why? You know, this morning in this little passage, and the new lead pastor will glare at me if I go too long this morning, so I'm going to be really brief. I've only got 14 points this morning. But I only share the first three. Listen, will you remember these things? The gift that God has given us is the gift of grace in a judgmental world. I want you to remember that. We live in a judgmental world. I'm not just talking about people out there who judges. You judge yourself. You look in the mirror and you say, I'm not what I could be. I'm not what I should be. I don't like what I see. We fear other people's opinions and judgments and attitudes. We don't like the way we look. We feel ugly and we feel we live in a very judgmental world. And this gift this morning is a gift of grace in a judgmental world. You know, grace is not getting a gift when you deserve a hug. It's getting both when you deserve nothing. Grace is not God smiling at us the way we smile at a child who really annoys us. It's God adopting that annoying child who happens to be us and loving us as only a mother and father can. That's grace. Grace is not God giving us a gift and then hanging around waiting for something in return because he knows we got nothing to offer. Have a listen to this. It's in Romans. It says, you see this? Just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's grace. That's this unexpected, undeserved gift. Do you know, I want you to remember this morning, you made it to God's gift list. Every one of you. You made God's gift list and he offers you this morning the gift of grace instead of judgment. And we find that in the cross when Jesus died for us. The second thing about this indescribable gift is that it's a gift of gentleness in a hostile world. You don't need me this morning to explain the kind of world we live in. You're afraid to turn the telly on every morning, aren't you? It was such a relief this morning to turn the telly on and sunrise wasn't on. I didn't have to listen to Koshy. I'll never forget all that bad news coming out of Melbourne and Sydney. It's just lovely. I heard carols. Do you know, there used to be a song around that we used to sing when I was little a long time ago. It said, "There's gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child." Do you remember that? Anybody remember singing that? I used to hate that song. See, I grew up fairly rough and tumble, and the idea of a gentle Jesus, meek and mild, didn't do it for me. It was like, I don't need a gentle, meek and mild Jesus. I want someone to get into the action with me, like where I live. Until I grew up a bit and a bit wiser, and I realized that gentleness and meekness and mildness is the capacity to use our strength properly. Do you get that? So the gift that God gave us in Jesus was a gentle Jesus, not a weak, insipid Jesus, a gentle Jesus who knew how to use the whole might and power of God properly. Do you know, one of the things we do when we have power, one of the first things we want to do is to crush our enemies. It's called the pecking order. If you got power, the first thing you want to do is make sure you're just above the one below you. I mean, I got so mad in that second test, didn't you, when we could have crushed the Poms? Do you remember that? We made 442 when we got them out for 227, and we could have enforced the follow-on and completely crushed their spirit. Forever. They may never have toured Australia again. Instead, we went back into bat with a new ball under lights at night, and we got knocked over for 138 and gave the Poms a sneaky chance of winning. Can you believe that? What is wrong with our captain? See, that's how I think. If you have the chance, crush them. And I'm one of the good guys. There's a lot more horrible people in the world than me. Maybe not when it comes to cricket. You know, Christmas is a time that challenges every one of us as to who we really are and what you really believe. It's a time of joy and goodwill. But it's also a time when you've got to see the relatives. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, you know. You know, you can sing about joy and goodwill all you like, but in the end, you're going to come face to face with a relative you don't want to see. Happy Christmas. Christmas is a time of sharing and generosity. And then we find out who's coming to lunch. And we go, really? You didn't speak to me about them. See, you know what I've got power to do? I've got power to invite whoever I want to lunch. But I've also got power to invite those I don't want. Folks, I'm telling you now, I need the power to do what I don't want to do. Do you hear that this morning? You need power to do what you don't want to do, because you've already got power and motivation to do what you want to do, and we exercise it in the wrong ways. The gift that God gave us at Christmas time was the gift of gentleness, where we use the power that God gives us properly. And he enables us to be gentle in a hostile world. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, people looked up and said, "If you are the Son of God, save yourself." Two big things went through Jesus' mind then. One was self-defense and self-preservation. You put me in a corner and I'll fight every time. Jesus could have used his power to exercise both, but he was gentle enough to stay on the cross for you and me. He was meek enough to fight those personal drives of self-preservation and self-defense. And he was mild enough to pray, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Gentleness in a hostile world. Lastly, this gift that God gives us in Jesus is a gift of generosity in a selfish world. Generosity. What was the first one, by the way? Grace in a judgmental world. Second one? Gentleness in a hostile world. The third one is the gift of generosity in a selfish world. Do you know, I love the way when you read through the Gospels, how generous Jesus was. He kept throwing parties. He kept having meals with people. He kept healing people. He kept interrupting his world for people like Zacchaeus, who nobody wanted to know about, Nicodemus, Mary and Martha. He reached out to people that other people wouldn't, the man with leprosy, the woman at the well, and all these kind of people. He fed 3,000 people one time and 5,000 another. He was generous to kids and he let them come up and jump all over him. He was generous to people like you and me. You know, the only difference is you think that God would want to be generous to you, don't you? And why wouldn't God love people like this? Look at you all. You all look so beautiful. One or two exceptions, but the rest of you look so beautiful. Listen, God has been generous to you. He loves you. No matter how well you scrub up, you don't deserve it. And neither do I. Little Pippi came into me yesterday. She's six. She's our granddaughter. She said, "Pa, you'll never guess what? I'm in the play at church tonight." That was last night. I said, "That's exciting, darling." I said, "Have you got the main role?" She said, "No, I've got the second main role." I said, "Really? One of my relatives having the second main role?" I said, "Who's got the first main role?" And she goes, "Pa, Jesus has the main role." I said, "Darling, I'm so excited that you've got the second main role." Well done. You are second fiddle to Jesus. And he has been so generous to you. I'm going to finish with a little thing I read, a little cartoon I saw recently of Peanuts. Snoopy is feeling pretty great. In the first frame, he comes dancing into the picture and he says, "Sometimes I love life so much, I just can't express it." And he keeps dancing. He says, "You know what? I feel that I want to take the first person I meet into my arms and I'm going to dance merrily through the streets." And then into the scene comes grumpy old Lucy. And Snoopy freezes. He sits down and he tries to be as inconspicuous as possible. And then in the last frame, he's dancing again. He says, "I feel that I want to take the second person that I meet into my arms and dance merrily through the streets." And I looked at that and thought, that is me to a T. Lord, I want to be generous, I want to be gentle, I want to be gracious to the very first person I meet. And I meet them and I say, "Oh, Lord, let's make it the second one, or maybe the third." Do you know what makes God's gift indescribable? He dances with the first person, you. And he says, "But he wouldn't want to dance with me." He does. Does he see my record? He knows it. You are the first person. He doesn't look for a better option. He comes to you and he says, "You are the one. Let's dance." What a gift. The gift of grace in a judgmental world. The gift of kindness in a hostile world. The gift of generosity in a selfish world. It's been given to us in Jesus. You can give that gift to others because of what Jesus has given to you. I'm going to pray. Father, what a gift. No wonder Paul described it as indescribable, because the more we think about it, the more indescribable it is. You've been so generous to us, so gentle with us when we don't deserve it. You've been so gracious, and you've hugged us, and you've gifted us when we didn't deserve either. I would pray this morning that just in a personal moment of quiet faith, that we would receive that gift of Jesus and say thank you. Hear our prayer, for we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.